Okay, we're gonna start now on Mem Alpha Men Aleph at the top of the page. I'm just gonna close the door.
Mem Aleph, Aleph.
41A.
So we're continuing on with this idea that Reb Shmuel Bar Ba, I'm sorry, Shimon Bar Ba, had stated at the bottom of the page, or the previous page, he said, V'hishin nofla shkor achas l'tok shtayim. Shachoros, they should both have broke that. You had to have the case has to be, in other words, Reb Shimon says in the Mishnah that if you have 50 white figs, 50 black figs, and one black fig falls into the mixture, the Mishnah said that Reb Shimon holds its bottom, right? Which is a very strange thing, right? We were talking about it yesterday. So let's suppose it would be 98. White figs, and there were two black figs, and one black fig falls into it, or even 99. What would be the rule? Is it still bottle? It's like, it seems preposterous, right? How could one black fig be bottle? So we posited a possibility that he said that must be talking about where there was at least two others. So you had one black fig falling into two other black figs. So you'd have a majority of two black figs against one. So there would be at least bittul d'oraisa. That's what we said yesterday. That was Reb Shmuel Bar Ba's chiddush. Okay. Now we're going to continue on in that light. Now, what we're going to say here is a very simple idea. What do you do in when you have a mixture that's bottle? So we said you have to take the one that fell in and take it out of the mixture and give that to the Kohanim because it's mum and coin, right? So you're going to take black fig out from, let's say there are 90, let's say he says there's two, right? So that means there's 99 and 100 of the two black figs. The black fig that falls in makes it 101, right? So now I have one black fig in 100 hulin figs, and it's bottle. So then we're going to take out one black fig, because we know it was black that fell in there. That was truma. We know that for sure. So we're going to give that to the kohen. So what are you left with? How many black figs?
Two
black figs. So if you're left with two black figs, are you left with a matzav of bittul? In other words, let's look. In other words, what we're going to say now is, we're going to say this in just a second, but I just want to explain to you what's happening here. Is he's looking at it after you return the fig to the Kohanim. Now, do I have a matzav of bittul now in front of me? If I don't, then maybe I got a problem. That's basically what he's saying now.
Because one of the black figs is the truma fig?
It might be. It could be that the one you gave the coin was the truma, but it might not have been. In which case, the one black fig here is truma, and one black fig is chulin. In which case, I don't have bittul d'oraisa here. The whole assumption of that Reb Shimon's din of bittul that's going to work here is because min ha-Torah it was bittul. That needs to extend beyond the returning of that one black fig to the Kohen. That's basically what he's going to say here. So, lo mistarva b'tol shalosh, isn't it reasonable to say that Rabbi Yeshua's din is only where you had actually three, not two black figs, but we had three chulin figs of black figs in which one black fig fell in. So now we have a total of four. You return the one to the Kohen, and you're left with three, which means we have a majority of black figs against the one black fig. Okay, you got it? Okay. Shem tova achas mehem yushom shtayim. Even though it says tova, the gra changes that to shetala. It's a better gear. So that if it'll be oila, one fig from the mixture, you'll be left with two more. So amaleis, or this was something Reb Zeira said in front of Ramana. So Ramana said back, ofa no samar kain. I also think so. That's a very good svar, what you're saying, right? Yeah. Okay. Now, Bar Pedaya Omar, he says another interesting thing. He wants to say that Rabbi Yeshua, the reason why it's why white figs, he's kind of like adding a little bit more of a svara. Why are white figs able to mevatel a black fig? Doesn't make sense, right? What sense does it make? So we were trying to be masber because it's the Rabbanon, so there's a special kula, but it really doesn't make sense. He tries to make a little sense of it. Tochein umater. The reason why it's mutter is because you could, in theory, take a grinder, grind up all the figs, and I guess ground up figs all look the same. What? Everything is ground up looks the same, right? So, yeah. So therefore, even though it isn't currently ground, but it could be ground, and therefore, now he's going to use the word press and grind interchangeably. I'm not sure why he does that. To me, tochein means grind, but he says press, and i.e. press. Not sure exactly why. Maybe if you press it hard enough, it doesn't look like it loses its color. Maybe that's why. I'm not sure. Let's see, does four say it here? He could render them indistinguishable from each other by pressing them together into a fig cake. I guess when you press them into a fig cake, it just looks like gook. And you don't see any color. I guess that's the shot. I'm not sure. All right? So just remember that pressing, grinding, whatever the word you want to use, it makes it look the same. Now, the Alpha Gav the Bar Pedaya Omar Ein Blila Eloliyan Vashem Bavad. That means that normally when you have a taruvus, in order for the taruvus to let's give an example here. He gives an example where you have 50 peiros grew on year one, 50 peiros grew on year two, and now you have the peiros get mixed up together, and the rule is you can't be ma'aser from one year on the other year, right? Each year has to have shana v'shana, has to have the ma'asers from that year on that year. So now I've got it all together, so what am I going to do? So, you know, I'll tell you what, I'll mix it up with my big spoon. And then I'll take out, if I have, it was 50 and 50, I need to take out 10. I'll take out 10, and I mixed it up pretty well. So he says, no, that's blila. He holds, ein blila el v'shem v'yayin v'vat. If I have liquid water, wine, or liquid oil, so there, I'll agree with you. If you take your mixer, and you stir it up together, it's perfectly mixed, and I could take, right, 10, let's say it's 50, 100 gallons, I could take 1 gallon of the wine, and I'm pretty much guaranteed that it's going to have 50% from one year, 50% from the other year. But if it's dry, that's not reasonable to assume it's going to be perfectly 50-50. So the Gemara is saying, even though Bar Pedaya holds this way in other areas of halacha, but hocha, maiduhu hocha shehin avolos. But here, by the white and black figs, they do become blended. And what he says here in note 7 is a very important note to read. Because in order to affect nullification, in our case, it's not necessary for the black and white figs to be evenly distributed throughout the mixture, but only that they be indistinguishable from each other. He's saying a gewaldige kazach over here. This is like, it's a beautiful thing. If you're talking about bittel, for something to become bittel, you don't need an even distribution. All you have to have is the taruvus, right? So if you have, right, I mean, everybody knows this, if you have two pieces of kosher meat and you have one piece of non-kosher meat, and they fall together, so they're not evenly distributed. They're three separate entities. You can see them clearly. But it's a taruvus, it's a mixture. So the same thing is true about the figs. The black figs and the white figs, even though they're dry, and he holds normally you don't say, you say ein blila by dry, but that's where you need to have an even distribution, such as the case I just gave you, where you have half from 1 year and half from another year, and you have to have a haruma, which is half from 1 year and half from the other year. But here, we're trying to create bittul. All you need for bittul is that they should be indistinguishable. And so by pressing them together, even though they're certainly not mixed up, distributed evenly, it doesn't make a difference. We don't need.
Is the me?
Yes.
You take out the iser one, you can eat the other two, right?
You don't need to take out anything. The bottle, you can eat all three. You can eat all three. It's bottle. One is bottle and two. In fact, one is bottle. I've been told.
So why don't you say the same thing? Even
if it's one piece, which is larger.
Because it could be ground together.
You don't have to say that's far. By bittul, you don't have to say this far. But every bittul is not because it could be ground and mixed together. You know, it's because it's bottle barov. The Torah says things are bottle barov.
One is not barov.
If one piece is larger than the other piece, it is.
Oh, if the
good. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, let's keep it simple. Let's make it two pieces.
So why are you worried about the truma with the three black?
Huh?
The three black that fell, the one fell in, and then you have only two left. So you can just say that the two black is not batel. If you say
hold on a second. We're going away from that now. This is bar padaya we're talking about.
Yeah, but I'm saying with
Bar Padaya, I don't think Bar Padaya is going to require that three thing, he has a different svar altogether. That was the introductory remarks we made from Reb Zeira in front of Ramana, and they agreed. But now,
but I'm saying with the principle,
yeah,
isn't that the principle?
What is the principle?
To have bittul, you said you take out the black one. Maybe that's not the truma.
Right.
So then you have two left, it's not batel.
Right.
But I'm saying the three, it's batel already.
Yeah, but it has to be till he gives the truma.
But okay.
Just like the three pieces of meat, you're saying it's batel.
Right, I hear what you're saying. You're tining, let's say that there was bittul already.
Right.
And once it's bottle,
the minute that you have
once you have three, it's bottle already.
Bottle, you take out
now
one.
Now you take out one, the other two don't become osir.
Right.
You said till it was told, the truma was given. That's what you said earlier.
Yeah, the truma has to be given to one of them.
When it was still bottle.
You're doing it after it became mixed up. You have 101 altogether right now in front of you. You have to take one out and give it to the Kohen. Right? So we have three black figs, and we
one
have
of them is
a 98
truma.
White figs. One of the three black figs is truma. We give one of the black to the Kohen.
And that's the truma.
And that's the tashlumen of truma. And the two left, we were worried that what if one of those is truma? Then we don't have a bittul of two against one. So therefore, he said, it must be that there aren't 98, but there's actually 97, and you have actually 98, 99, 100, and 101.
So
you're going to have four. One goes away when you give it to the coin, and you're still left with a bittul of one and two.
So now,
what you're asking is, what do you need that for? Why don't you say, even in the first place, it was bittul to begin with. Who cares? Just like in a case of bittul barov, you eat one piece. You don't say, "Well, now we only have two left, and they become usher." That's your kasha.
Right.
That kasha is in the brackets in footnote three. That he mamash spells out your kasha. It's in English, of course, here, but I'm sure you have it also. Logic for this requirement seems difficult, he says. And by the way, he does not answer this question. Even if the mixture originally contained just two black, and after the black truma fell in, one of the three black now present in the mixture were to fall out or be removed, it would seem that the truma fig should still be nullified according to biblical law. The identity of each of the two remaining black figs is, after all, still a question of which of the three figs it is, the truma fig or one of the two hulin figs originally present. Why, according to the Gemara's logic, it would emerge that if a piece of nevela meat became intermingled with two pieces of kosher meat, where the law is that the nevela meat is nullified and someone eats one of the three pieces, the remaining two pieces would be forbidden, And that's certainly not true. That's exactly your kasha. Kasha. Kavanoki, see you over there, 1091.
I thought it was a different amount of amrs. It's according to...
What was
even before
Bob Padoya?
Right.
He's asking your kasha. It's a very good kasha. I don't know the answer to the kasha.
Because even let's say you had 10 of the black figs and you start eating them, once you get down to the last two,
correct.
You see that all of a sudden it pops back into being
correct, and that's certainly not the case. Right. You're asking even according to what he's doing, he's not gonna fix it. Because
right.
He's gonna end up in trouble eventually anyway. Correct.
Unless he eats the last two at the same time.
Yeah. Correct. Yeah. This is a problem. This is definitely a problem. Okay. Very good. Okay. Next. Moving right along. We're way behind. We're going to start at 41A2. Now, this has to do with challah. Let's see here. The thing you have to know that challah, if you have a dough which is truma, it's potter from challah. Okay, that's a given. Just accept that for a second. Not only is that true about truma, pure truma, but also meduma truma is also potter from challah.
What's the reason?
Those are the facts. They're both called truma. Challah is called truma, and truma is called truma. You don't have to take truma from truma, whatever the reason is. Okay, so milashon derabbanan pliga. So some argue with Rav Shimon bar Bar. Why? Because it says meduma is exempt from challah. Kana shal v'shmol. So kana asked Shmol the following: l'mastava hadein meduma d'sinu hocha. This exemption of meduma, which is in the Mishnah challah, sheruba truma. Okay, so let's take the case. If I tell you there's a statement on the books that meduma is potter from challah, so meduma is there are all kinds of cases of meduma. Meduma could be you have 60 parts truma and 40 parts chulin is meduma, and it's not and it's all certain, right? It's meduma because it's mixed up. Dimua is whenever you have a taruvus of truma with chulin that become Aser, the taruvus is called as a whole dimua, so or meduma. So meduma is aser for zar to eat, obviously, but he's also potter from challah. But now let's take a look at this example. Let's take another example. Let's take an example where you have two parts truma and 98 parts chulin, right? So you're going to tell me that or even one, right? You don't have 101. You have one part truma in 99 parts chulin. You're going to tell me that's meduma and it's potter from challah? What kind of baloney is that? Min haTorah, it's certainly mevatel the one, and it should be chayv in challah min haTorah. So how could the chacham come along and say, oh, it's meduma? So that's really what he's asking him, right? Isn't it mistava sheruba truma? The majority is truma. Truma is exempt from challah. Minority is chulin. It nullifies the majority, so it's also exempt. But if the majority of the mixture is chulin, shouldn't it be obligated in challah? So Amalei. So Shmuel says to Kahano, I'm not so rakein. I think so too. But I'm not going to say it as a psak. Elo tislak l'ar de Yisrael at shalei. When you go to Eretz Yisrael, ask the question of the Gedolim over there. Let's hear. The Gedolim of Eretz Yisrael are going to know the halachas of challah and truma and all these things better than us here in Bavel, right? Katzlak, so Kahana went to Eretz Yisrael. Shoma hador damar Rav Yosi b'shem Yochanan. So he heard this statement from in the name of Yochanan. Afilu so'ah shenoflo toch tisha metesha chulin. That the exemption of Aduma applies even if you have one saw in 99 parts chulin. So it's against their original thinking, but that's what he heard. That's what they said. So, Amar Babu, Kach Meshav Rav Shimon Ben Lachish Rav Yochanan. For Osa saw hipoteres as hakol. One saw in all 99 is going to potter everything from challah. Doesn't make any sense. Why? Since the chulin is not nullified, it should remain subject to chala. Rather say the Mishnah applies only when it's a majority truma. So Rabbi Yochanan replied to Rish Lakish. He asked him a kasha from our Mishnah in Trumas. The chi igul be igulin, a small cake that fell into 100 fig cakes of chulin, right? So there, Rabbi Yeshua's rule, he's asking from Rabbi Yeshua's ruling, we say that it's batal, right? The mixture is permissible after removing one fig cake for the kohen. Dover bari sha truma also be yado. Do we know for sure that the truma is the thing that he gave to the kohen? No, it's still in there, right? Of course not. The fig cake of truma might have remained behind. Vad amar kalhu. And so what do you say? The reason is because truma has a lenient matter nowadays. Because nowadays truma is drabanon. So since truma is drabanon, they have certain kulas. So he says, say afacha kalhu here too. It's kalhus mazman hazes also drabanon. So we have a special kula. So you're asking good questions, but it's a special kula. Now we're on 41b. The Yisivne, if Rav Shimon bar Ba is correct, Rish Lakish should have countered him. In other words, if remember, now we're trying to tie this back to Rav Shimon bar Ba's statement that you had to have bittul, it had to be at least 1 and 2, or 2 and 3, whatever, 1 and 3, 1 and 2, whatever the number was. Shanya Beagle, and he could have said, figs are different, shekvar batlu. In the case of the figs, one was batlu and two others, so that's why it was pata from truma, right? Right? You follow what I'm saying? In other words, how can you compare the case of chala, where you have, which Rish Lakish was asking, one saw, right? He was asking from one saw, in 99 other saw of chulin, he was asking, how could that one saw pata everything from chala? So what kind of kasha is it from our example of our Mishnah? Our Mishnah is talking about where you had one black fig mixed in with two others. So there was, according to Rav Shmuel bar Ba, in which case there was bittul ahead of time, and that's why it worked in our case, right? The remaining prohibition of Meduma is therefore only rabbinic. The rabbis were lenient in Meduma, but the case of the Mishnah Chala, that's the majority mixture was chulin, in which case the entire mixture is biblically considered chulin. How can the rabbinic status of Meduma pater the whole mixture? Conclude, therefore. So what do we conclude from the fact that Rish Lakish accepted Rabbi Yochanan's argument and did not respond in kind, that he must not hold from Rabbi Shmuel bar Ba's requirement that there be two, right? So by remaining silent, that these Amoraim argue with Shmuel bar Ba and maintain that Yeshua holds, even when there was only one small hole in fig cake in the mixture, it also is bottle from Yeshua. That's the Gemara's argument here, okay? Gemara talks about the fact that even though it's distinguishable by color, and Rabbi Pataya said you could press it all together. Now the Gemara says, that it's not only true by something where you could just press it together, such as a fig, but even something such as wheat kernels, where you had dark-colored truma wheat kernels fall into a batch of other wheat kernels, some of which are dark and some of which are light. So there, too, you have the same option of tochein umatir, that you could grind it up and then it wouldn't be nicker which color it was. The Gemara is just adding, extending the heter of the tchina beyond just a pressing, which would be done by fig. It could even be by grinding by wheat. Okay? Hoy l'fon of esrim te'enim. Okay, he had 20 figs in front of him. Chulin figs. V'nofla achas l'sochan. Now one fig of truma fell into the mixture. Now the whole mixture becomes meduma. Now one of the figs gets lost. So now, so now you have one of the truma, in other words, minhat Torah, as soon as it fell in, it became batel barov. The only thing was there was a din d'rabbanan that we require 100. But now one of the mixture fell out already. Right? And we don't know whether the one that fell out, that got lost, that may have been the truma one that fell out. Now, every other one that we pick up out of the mixture is a sveika drabbanan. That's what he's telling.
What was the significance of 20?
He was just telling you, he just wanted you to just, it's not significant, it's just he wants to make it so it's for sure a clear case where you don't have 100, right? So you have, right, that's the reason. But Rabbi Yochanan says, no, kula nasu hochiach, they all became hochiach, means that once it had a shame meduma at the outset, when it fell in there, just because one falls out, that you don't change the whole halacha and say now it's a suffix. Once you give up psak, then it's osur, the whole thing becomes osur. May day Rabbi Yochanan shem taram mehen on makom acher, but he'll concede if you took one or some of the remaining 20 figs as truma on behalf of figs in another place, riba mimakom acher alein, where you added from other chulin shesveikan bato barov, then the questionable truma is nullified. Now, why that is, I don't know the pshat yet. That would be footnote 11. And let's read it inside here. If Yochanan agrees, in essence, when one fig is lost, they are presently a mixture of questionable truma. But because it was originally ruled meduma, we continue to maintain that status even later. When he separated one of the remaining 20 figs as truma from another fig, in which case the question of whether the other figs have been rectified is a new question. That new question arose after one of the figs was lost. So then he agrees it's treated as questionable truma. So basically what we're accomplishing by being mafresh a fig on another place is we've created a new question which didn't exist before. So in the case in which 20 remaining figs mixed with 21 new chulin figs, it's questionable from the outset, is there a truma fig in this new mixture? So now he agrees the second mixture is a mixture of questionable truma. So the 20 questionable figs becomes nullified in the majority of the 21. Basically, what he's accomplishing here is, by adding 21 new ones, you're creating a new suffix that overrides the original psak that the original meduma was based on. That's what it seems to be doing over here. I'm not sure I understand it's 100% right, but that's what it says over here. You understand what I'm trying to say? So Rabbi Yochanan's svar was, right, let's start again. Rish Lakish said, if one falls out, so you're left with a new sveka drabanan. Everyone, you don't know which one is, whether it's really, was the one that fell out the truma. An imtum slumber, it wasn't that one, is the one I'm picking up now. Is that the truma? Maybe it's left behind here in the taruvas. So it's like almost like a sveka, right? Right? It's a suffix drabanan. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, you only have one suffix. And that's not even really a suffix because we paskin, when it fell in originally, that the whole thing was osur. So that's it, it's all osur. It's a chatika de yisur, so to speak, all 20. Now, how could you undo it? The Eitza over here, the Gemara is saying, a hop here, add 21 additional ones. What's that going to accomplish? Because now, do I have Rov being Mevatel a Truma here? If I knew for sure, let's take the original case. One fell into 20 and made it Osir. Let's drop the fact that one fell out. Now you have a meduma mixture. That's usher. Now 21 new ones fall in. It's not going to help because you just have the same problem. You have a mixture of vadai truma here, getting mixed in with just a little bit more taruvas of chulin. That's not going to help. But now that you had one fall off, so now this mixture is less chomer because you don't know for sure that it's there. So as long as you don't have a new shiloh, you have to remain with your original psak that it was osur. But if you add 21 new ones, now it could be I have rov against something which might be true, might not be true. We'll falazach on the din d'oraisa to say we go basar rov. That's what the Gemara seems to be saying here. A good night.
So to fix up a meduma, you can do some fix, some new stuff.
Yes, if you had such a suffix.